Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I want to read part of what Jean just read for us again, because it's going to shape the rest of the message. From Joel chapter 2, verse 19, in response to his people, the Lord said, I am sending you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. So those three things, grain, usually wheat, olive oil, and wine, were so important to the people that lived in that part of the world. It's still important to the diets of the people that live around the Mediterranean today. In Jesus' day, if you went to the top of one of the hills in Galilee, and I've not been there, but I've seen the pictures, it's a pretty darn hilly place. If you went to the top of the hills in Galilee, probably any direction you looked, you would have been able to see a grove of olive trees, some grapevines growing on a hillside, and a field of wheat somewhere among. Those were the three things that everybody's diet depended on. When we say, Lord, give us our daily bread, well, there's a reason for that. Bread was what you lived on. Folks didn't have a lot of the things that we get to enjoy each day. Your daily calories depended on bread, depended on the fat from olive oil, depended on the grapes that grew around you. And the grapes are funny. So before I went to seminary, when I was still running from God, I had dreams of being a history professor. So I took a class when I was getting my master's in history, and I actually wrote a paper on wine consumption in ancient Israel because I thought that sounded interesting. That's the kind of guy I am. The grapes were funny. I mean, I think we can all understand people growing bread. The olive oil was important because you didn't have any meat, you didn't have any cheese, you didn't have any butter or milk, you didn't have a way to keep them fresh. So the fat in your diet was olive oil, and you needed those calories, or you weren't going to get through another day. And then what did they do with these grapes? Well, they didn't turn it into fine wine. Well, there were a few places where they grew fine wine that the Romans would pay lots and lots of money for. But mostly what you did is you grew cheap wine on the hillside and you mixed it with water because the wine mixed with water would kill the germs in the water and made it safe to drink. And that's what people lived on. 20 to 25% of your calories every day came from that wine. Or if you were really poor, you had to mix your water with vinegar to kill the germs in it. And that's what you drank. Can you imagine living like that? So when God says, I'm going to give you grain and oil and grapes, everyone who heard that would have said, oh, we're going to have enough to live through another day. It may not be the fanciest diet, but we're not going to starve to death. And when Jesus was preaching about grain and about vines, probably 80% of the people that he would have been preaching to were involved in agriculture, maybe more than that. Every one of them would have been immediately able to say, I get what you're talking about, Jesus. This is my life. I'm used to tending the orchard, the olive orchards. I'm used to being among the grapevines. I'm used to harvesting the grain. So let's look at those two passages that specifically talk about the grain and the vines. Because in some ways, they're both trying to get the same idea across. Now, in Jesus' time, I found it funny as I looked this up, you would broadcast the seed by hand. Nowadays, as I understand it, and I have never planted wheat, but as I understand it, they have the nice thing that goes behind your planter, puts the seed directly into the ground. Back then, somebody would have been walking through the field as the sower. They would have had a big pouch in front of them. They would take the handfuls of grain, and with a sweep of the arm and a flick of the wrist, and apparently you needed to do it the right way, you would spread the seed across the field. And everyone knew that some of the seed was not going to grow. Some of it was going to fall on the path and the birds would snatch it away. Some of it would fall on soil where it wouldn't be able to have deep roots. Some of it would get choked out by the thorns and the weeds. And some of it would grow. And when Jesus talks about it'll bear a harvest of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, well, in those days, if you got a 5-fold harvest, you were down on your knees thanking God for God's blessings. The thought of getting even 30-fold, let alone 100-fold of what you sowed, would have been a dream for people. It would have been a year like they couldn't possibly imagine. And Jesus used this example that all of the people listening would have been able to understand to try and describe to us how we need to respond to the love of God. Because we can let the evil things in our lives snatch the love of God away. If you let hate grow in your heart, if you let bitterness grow in your heart, if you let selfishness grow in your heart, you can hear the good news of Jesus over and over and over again, but it won't grow because you will let those things snatch it away from you. So we have to always ask ourselves, is there anything growing within our heart? Is there anything evil? Is there anything that, whether or not you think literally or not, anything that's of Satan that might be growing within us? And if there is, what are we doing to make sure that it doesn't snatch the love of Jesus away from us? And then you think about the seeds that fall on the thin, rocky soil that'll sprout up but have no root and wither away. You know, often I would hear people talk about, have you given your life to Christ? Have you made that decision for Jesus? And that is important. And some people come to faith in Christ very quickly and very suddenly, and it's a wonderful, marvelous thing. But it's not just about saying, I believe Jesus is my Savior once. Jesus invites us to a lifelong relationship, a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And what does a relationship need? It needs tending. I was talking to Amy and Steve yesterday at their wedding about that, because a relationship needs tending. Well, our relationship with God needs tending as well. It's easy to have that relationship sprout up, but if you don't tend it, if you don't have the deep roots, the things day by day to grow in faith, it won't last, and it won't change your life, and it won't help you become something greater than you ever could have been on your own. And then there's the thorns, the things that choke out our faith. Maybe we could decide to ourselves, I really want a house that looks like this. I really want a car that looks like this. I really want that promotion. I really want something, even a loving thing. I want this for my kids. So I'll work and work and work and work to try to get it. But if we don't spend our time with God, if we don't let the love of God change our lives, if we focus on these material things, on these earthly things, even things that are good, what might we be missing? What might the thorns be choking out in our life? How much more blessed could our lives be? And that's where I think we can connect the parable of the sower to the parable of the vine, so the way that Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Now, I don't know how to grow grapes. If any of you know how to grow grapes, tell me, because I actually find it kind of interesting. But I do know this, you've got to keep the branches grounded in the vine. And if the branches are grounded in the vine, grapes can produce and can produce and can produce. And the great thing about grapes is they can produce something you can eat or drink in really crummy soil on a really steep hillside. It's part of why they were so important to the people that lived in that part of the world where, you know, half the country looked like this. Kind of like where we were down in Kentucky, actually. Only it's a whole lot wetter in Kentucky than where they were. And Jesus talks about God being the grape grower, the vine dresser. There's a lot of different translations for the word. And I don't know how this works, but if you prune the grapes the right way, they put all their energy into producing more and more bunches of grapes. And I've been to vineyards, and you look out, and it looks like the vine is nothing but bunches of grapes. There's hardly any leaves on it. It's just grapes, grapes, grapes. That is what Jesus says can happen when we let ourselves be grounded in Jesus. We can bear fruit. You think about the example of this mission trip that we went on. You think about the example of the stories that people shared. One person's vision, and it really was one person from our church who had a vision that led to this mission trip happening, that bore a lot of fruit, that helped people do something that's going to hopefully bless the community for decades to come. That is what Christ says. If we ground ourselves in the vine, if day by day we read the Bible and we pray, if we come and worship with our siblings in Christ, if we spend time in small groups and in prayer groups with people and talking about our faith and growing about our faith, our lives can bear so much fruit. Sure, on our own we might bear a little bit of fruit, but how much more if we let the loving presence of God, the Holy Spirit, guide every aspect of our lives? Just as I said, when the children's time, that little seed that can grow into that amazingly tall corn stalk, well, all of us are that seed. God says all of you can bear wonderful, amazing fruit. You can be blessed by relationship with me through Jesus Christ, and you can be a blessing to so many more people. Will you let your life be grounded in the vine? Grounded in the vine of Christ, and let your life bear fruit for others. So I ask you, how can we follow the example of the seeds and the plants around us? How can we make sure we are rooted in the good soil? What can we do? What changes might we want to make in our lives so that we can be grounded in the vine, connected to the vine, bearing fruit of blessing for our lives and for others? God, we thank you for the good soil, and we thank you for the nourishment of the vine. May we truly ground our lives in the soil and the vine, and may we flourish, and may we bear fruit in our lives and in the lives of others. And may it be so, in the name of Jesus Christ, the vine. Amen.